shoes and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hey friends, I'm Dan Foster. I'm pastor and host of the radio program Grace Thoughts. Grace Thoughts is heard on this great radio station from Monday through Friday at 12 noon during the lunch hour. Remember Jeremiah's famous prayer to God, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart."
Tired of raking your mulch back into your garden bed? Or have you replaced wood siding or a garage door because of rain damage? Gutter Guy Seamless Gutters, the rain drainage expert, can help. With 12 different colors to match your home's exterior, the Gutter Guy manufactures and installs 5, 6, and 7-inch seamless gutters. For repairs or gutters for the entire house, Gutter Guy is ready to service all your rain drainage needs. Gutter Guy, a corporate underwriter of WCNO, is available at 334-3139.
It was the blood of the cross that made us right with God. Be careful of the ropes of religiosity, because the ropes of religiosity will tie you up and drag you away from doing what God's called you to do.
Welcome to Capturing His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. As we look towards the coming year, we'd like to encourage you to engage in practices that will promote spiritual growth. With this goal in mind, in today's program, we're going to enjoy a continuation of a topical message that will help to establish a biblical framework for success in the upcoming year. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. We are going to pick up with Pastor Bernard's discussion on the purpose of following the law or the commands of God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with a continuation of biblical practices that will place you in a position of prosperity.
The law only points out how bad you need Jesus. The law is short. It can't save you. Read Galatians 3. Paul said, "You foolish Galatians, trying to go back to the law." And they even had issues that they got to be, these Gentiles in Acts, they got to be circumcised, they got to do this, they got to keep the law. No, Jesus is the one that met every demand of the law. Galatians 3 tells us again, it was a schoolmaster and a teacher to discipline you, put you in the order. But here's the beautiful thing about the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saved you, not the law. And it's the grace of God that gives you the capacity to understand the law and to apply the law. It's the grace of God. So he's saying, hey, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, when you practice obedience, what you're demonstrating? People that don't do the word of God, you are being dishonest with yourself, and you're not being honest with others, and you're definitely not being honest with God when you don't keep, when you don't obey, when you don't practice the word of God. As John writes in 1 John chapter 1, around verse 5, if you don't, how can you say you're in fellowship with God when you're walking in darkness? Did you hear me? When you walking in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So if I'm exercising obedience, obedience according to the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and chapter 13 and 14, the Gospel of John tells me that obedience, keeping God's commandments, demonstrate that I what? Love the Lord. You know, we have these different movements in evangelical circles that they don't want you talking about you need to obey. They hate that word obedience today. But it's part of who we are as Christians. Stop being a legalist. If God's my Lord, he's my commander in chief, he's my God, and he tells me, not just ask me. Some of you got God in a position where he's asking you to do something. Don't you put God in a position where he's asking you to do something. He's telling you he has the right to tell you. Is that right? So if God's telling me to do this, this is what his word do. And Solomon's not being asked. He's being told what he need to do. So we practice obedience. That's how I know I'm in fellowship. Now I got to make a difference here. I got to draw a distinction to all the Pharisees that are in the house. I hope there's no Pharisees in the house. I'm not asking you to be militant. Be militant to keep all the commandments, because number one, you can't keep all of them. I'm not asking you to obey because you think you're going to get more benefits and more blessings with God. I'm asking you to obey God because that's what God's asked you to do. And sometimes people think if I accomplish or do a bunch of tasks, if I do a lot of things, I get brownie points with God. Jesus got you close to God. Don't forget that. It was the blood of the cross that made us right with God. Be careful of the ropes of religiosity, because the ropes of religiosity will tie you up and drag you away from doing what God's called you to do. God's called us to be obedient. We must trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy with Jesus but to what? Trust and obey. I don't know about you, but I don't want to forfeit fellowship with God. Anybody with me? Because when you forfeit fellowship with God, it's a lonely thing to be separated from God. Now, spiritually, let me qualify that. And you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, you can't be separated from him when your spiritual position, but the way you think, the way you interpret your world, the what you experience. Anybody know what separation looks like? Let me tell you an easy thing to remind you of that. It's a three-letter word called S-I-N. Sin separates you from God. Did you know that? Oh, no, it's just a little slight little habit I have. And when God's ready to take that out of my life, then he'll take that out of my life. You see the cavalier, casual attitude towards sin? It is God, by his grace, that we confess our sins. Why do you think we got to do 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But why do you obey the word, Pastor? Because I obey the word because there's a benefit in my relationship with God. Here's the thing. There's less of me and God has more control of me in the relationship. I have good fellowship with my God. You see, David had to remind Solomon that he had to be strong and courageous, and he couldn't be strong and courageous without obedient fellowship with God. Obedient fellowship, I like to call it. If you have an obedient fellowship with God, Solomon, then you're going to prosper. A lot of you that have been parents or just becoming parents, let me ask you a question. Is it your life mission to make sure that your kids get the greatest education in the world, make sure that they're in a position of prosperity financially, make sure that they have the capacity to travel and enjoy things? Those are all noble goals, but there's something wrong with that when the priority is not that your kid don't fear and live for the Lord. We do a lot in America. We do a lot all over the globe to make sure that we get our children in what we perceive to be the position of strength and power and prosperity. We spend countless amount of money for education. We spend countless amount of money for their entertainment. We spend countless amount of money and time and sacrifice with our children. Do we not? But how much time do we spend, how much do we invest in the spiritual lives? You see, David knew that the promise of God said, hey, if my, that's a condition for the blessing for my future. That's a condition here, O Solomon, that my children need to take heed to how they, their way. What's their way? The way they walk, the way they entertain themselves, the way they engage in their job, the way they act out in the public, the way they live their lives, how they govern, the path that they walk. Oh, it's important that they're walking the right way. What way should they walk in? Everybody say truth. Young people need truth today. You know what the young person, you talk to the typical young person today, guess where that truth come from? YouTube. YouTube. Social media. These reality TV shows. Their truth comes from what being taught in school and what's conditioning them with a secular humanistic mindset. Materialistic, in some places, communism. Everything's about me, and take, and it's about me and my money, my time, my stuff. They're taught that the world rotates and centers around me and my happiness and my joy. That's not truth. Truth is, fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Truth is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Get them back to Jesus. It was so important that they take heed and walk in truth in their heart and with all their soul. I just go to church because my parents made me go to church. I was in that category. Anybody with me? I had to be religious. I had to go to attend church and be faithful because of, well, that's what you're supposed to do. But when I get 18, when I go to college, see you later, God and church, I'm out of here. No, the word needed to continue from one generation to the next. I see what I also see is a preservation for the future for our children in that passage. And let's get back to our principles again. Turn over to Joshua. Let's review them real quickly before we wrap it up. Let's review some of these principles, make sure you got them. Number one, the first principle that we want to practice is that God's called us to practice spiritual strength. God's called us to manifest maturity. God's called us to be responsible, to remember your representation and your responsibility as a Christian. God's called us to practice obedience, for it fortifies fellowship. And now let's get some lessons from old Joshua. Turn to Joshua 1, 5 through 9, real quickly. Joshua 1, 5 through 9. Again, there's a transition taking place. People of Israel was in bondage for over 400 years over the oppression of Pharaoh. The man of God, Moses, God called. God spoke to him out of a burning bush. You know the story. Providentially, God raised Moses up and Aaron up, and they went and spoke to the people of Israel and led them away from the Exodus through a whole list of 10 specific divine miracles, 10 plagues. God used those plagues to help liberate the people of Israel, and the people of Israel discover a brand new practice, a mandate that God called the Passover, where the judgment passed over their house, because remember, they killed a Passover lamb, and then they put the blood on the top and on both sides. That's why Passover, God's judgment passes over because of the blood. And my personal application is God's judgment, the lake of fire, the future, will pass over me because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary. So we see that story. We see, because the Old Testament is history about a special group of people called Israel. And it points us grateful Gentiles to our history. Because of Abraham, we are blessed. Now, Joshua, they only knew Moses. Now he's at the end of his life. He has some advice, and he encouraged this military leader who's taken on an expanded role, a role that he's never walked in his life. Could be intimidating. I mean, leading millions of people into the promised land is a tall order in itself. You know, I fought the Amalekites and the Hittites and Perizzites and different groups of nations, and now I gotta lead people into the promised land. That's a giant to fight. Responsibility. Huge. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. I'm reading. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall I divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's a lot to pull out from that passage, but I'm going to highlight a few things with our time remaining that's so essential. As we think about that practices, biblical practices that put me in a position of prosperity. First of all, did you get encouraged reading that? Do you see God using Moses to speak calm into this guy's life? Here's what I want you to know. I see a man intimidated. I see a man nervous. For God to be repetitive, for the scriptures to be repetitive, be strong, be very courageous. Be strong, be very courageous. You see, he mentioned that more than once and twice in the text, did he not? What is that indicative of? I submit to you that he was speaking to a specific weakness in our brother Joshua's life. And I would submit to you that some of you, us, we sometimes find ourselves in this position where we won't exercise the boldness that God's asked us to exercise. Do you hear me? Here's the principle. Be bold, but bountiful in grace. Be bold, but bountiful in grace. You see, Joshua, God is calling Joshua to be boldness in his walk with God. Because he needed that kind of encouragement that if, say, someone in the tribe wanted to take a stand against Joshua, Joshua was to stand up and crush that out. God has called a lot of us to be bold in our witness and our walk with Jesus Christ. And guess what? I'm not the only one in this room. I'm not the only one in this room, but God called me to be bold, and I backed down. Anybody with me there? But that's my mom. I can't say that to her. That's my wife. I can't say that to her. That's my son. I can't say that to them. Pastor, I don't want to create no problems, Pastor. You see, Pastor, I'm anti-conflict. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, not a fighter. A real lover will fight for the truth and the principles of God's righteousness. Because you love God more than that woman or that man or those children or that pastor or that denomination. You love God and you walk in that boldness. Now, someone's got to be careful. Some of you got these personalities that you might want to pull that boldness back a little bit. Because every day you come to church looking for a fight. You come to church looking to be the sin police. You come to church way to tell somebody what they're not doing, what they need to be. But here's the thing. If God reveals a truth, well, speak that truth in love. Bring that truth with compassion. Bring that truth with grace. Bring that truth like Jesus would bring it. But Joshua, be very bold in what you do. And in this day and age, I love what's happening. Sovereign God, our Creator, as we find ourselves in the last days, God is allowing a setting and an environment on this planet that is no room for cowards. Did you hear me? God is cultivating a setting. Anytime you can legalize pot in a certain state, guess where it's going? Anytime you can change God's rules on marriage, and you've had this thing with abortion, you look at all these social issues, you think about the quality, you think about the character, you think about the behavior and the display of conduct and the rules that are being passed, guess what, Christians? You better bold up in Jesus. And don't make excuses, because I just want to, can't we all just get along? I'm going to say something might be kind of controversial, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Can we all just get along from a biblical standpoint? It's not biblical. Let me explain. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus said, the world will not want to get along with you. The world will what? Hate you. In the body of Christ, we should all be getting along. But you're not going to get along with the world, no matter how politically correct you're trying to be. It's not biblical. Don't you understand there's a devil and there's a Satan? Don't you know he's the prince of the power of the air? He's behind all that ungodly legislation that's being passed. Did you know that? But Pastor, you're just being angry. I'm angry about deception. I'm angry about the body of Christ being set up by the devil. Because guess what? You ask anybody that's from the extreme position to the far extreme left, it's not about negotiation with them. It's about crushing and destroy. Did you know that? We are to be bold in Jesus Christ and be bold in giving the gospel and witnessing to our family members and friends. Live boldly. Why? Where's your confidence? Well, next point. Communicate the word of God consistently. Communicate the word of God consistently. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Some of us, even myself, got to be careful that I'm not always talking about sports and who's going to win the Super Bowl. That I'm not always talking about how much money I can make. That I'm not always talking about politics. Make sure that the word of God is in communication. When's the last time you had a conversation with somebody or a group of people and you started to introduce scripture? What kind of look did you get? Excuse me, this is not Sunday. This is Tuesday night. This is not Wednesday. Don't be preaching to me. You're so Bible. Why I got to hear that Bible out your mouth all the time? The only thing you talk about is the Bible, Bible, Bible. They say, Pastor, let me hear the real you. Oh, you don't want to hear him. You don't want to get that sin man going. But make sure when you communicate the word, when you communicate the word, you're letting people know what your reference point for life is. You're letting people know who the authority is. When you communicate the word of God, you're communicating again, who's the authority? And you bring the word of God in that conversation. Well, Pastor, what do you think about same-sex marriage? Communicate the word of God. Well, Pastor, what do you think about not just all the things that we should stay away from, but the things that we should be doing? When it comes to church, Pastor, what do you think about this movement or that movement? Or what do you think? Well, what does the Word of God say? We've talked about raising children and how to be successful financially and how to grow as a person. Well, no, let's not go to psychology. What does the Word of God say? Make sure you go back to the Word of God. So he says, not Joshua, don't just be meditating on the Word. You got to communicate it to the people. And you got to always make sure you're reinforcing my principles. Joshua couldn't just read the Bible. Pastor, I read my Bible. Yeah. What else? You do anything else with it besides reading it? Do you teach it? Do you communicate it? Do you live accordingly to it? Or are you just reading it? It's just it's a spiritual checklist. I checked it off, got my Bible read, but is the power of the Bible available for everybody to see in your life? I've been reading the Bible for many years, like many of you. But Christ is more evident by the power that dominates you and I versus how much time we're doing. Make sure that God's word is being lived out and communicated in your life. Here's a final principle I want to give you today. Practice a conscience that is captured by confidence in God. Let me say that again. Practice a conscience that is captured by confidence in God. So that goes back to the boldness. I'm bold not because I'm big and bad and I memorized 1,000 scriptures. I'm big and bold not because I belong to a certain fellowship or I'm part of a people group or religion. I'm bold because my confidence is in God. Because I know he's in charge, he's in control, I trust him, and I know I can be confident to be successful because I'm trusting God to get me there. So if you walk around and exude a display of boldness, of confidence, because of your posture, make sure that they see Jesus and not you. I'm confident in that book that we got is true. And when you believe the Bible is true, guess what? You walk like it. You think like it. You track with it. You walk, and people can see the confidence. You know, when you see a person approach a stage to receive an award, or if someone got to make a presentation, or you see someone going before their employer for a raise, or regardless of what the setting is, you can look at a person's body language to see if they're confident or not. Is that right? Some people get the job on the spot because that guy says, hey, I could use somebody like you, ma'am. I could use somebody like you, sir. You are confident. But here's the thing. As Christians, who should you be? Catch this. I want you to write it down and highlight it. You are giants in the land. Christians, you should be giants in the land because giant Jesus lives in you. And when you are a giant in the land, you exercise, regardless of what your finances are, what your physical condition is, the world can look at you and say, that's a bad woman, that's a bad man. Why? Because they believe in God. But we don't act like that. We always act like we cripple. Oh, Lord, can you help me with this on another day? I know you said you'd be a bridge over troubled water, Lord. I don't fell off the bridge, got back on and fell off a couple more times. You said you'd make a way out of no way, but I don't see no way in this. Come on, Christians. Are you walking in the confidence of the Lord? You see, all the martyrs that we read about in Scripture, I think about Stephen being stoned. He wasn't weeping and begging and crying for deliverance. I believe the Bible says Stephen was so impressive. You see it only one time that you see it in Scripture where Jesus stands up. Where he's standing and watching Stephen being stoned. Let me ask you a question. Can you stand like that when you're being stoned by life? Can you stand like that when your spouse is just ripping you all types, all up and down the place, attacking you because she's being misled or he's being misled as a husband? Can you stand when the churches have let you down, broke your heart, when you see the whole lot of hypocrisy that's going on and the shortcoming of men and the shortcoming of organizations and even the shortcomings of this pastor? Will you still stand? Stand. In the confidence, no movement, no failure of a pastor or failure of a church should rock your confidence in God. You stand when your kids break your heart, and they will. When coworkers misunderstand you, when you are attacked, misunderstood, things ain't, breaks not falling your way. Practice a conscience that is captured by the confidence in God. I want to be more than an ordinary servant. I want to be more.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Biblical Practices That Will Place You in a Position of Prosperity. In today's program, Pastor Bernard concluded in his message with a powerful challenge by asking, is the power of the Bible available for everyone to see in your life? While you may know the Bible, we encourage you to ask yourself if you believe what it says. It is your beliefs that will impact your actions. To learn more about a relationship with God, please visit our website at cbfdelray.org or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We'd love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for our next program on Saturday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.